Kafka. I'm Charles Woolforth. Our topic today is education, particularly assessments. That's a fancy word for testing. And it's been such a controversial subject. It affects every family with kids in school and affects those of us who don't have kids in school as well, as we look at the success of schools and whether we're getting our money's worth. But it goes much deeper than just tests. It goes to what the curriculum is that we're testing on and the standards that we choose as a society that we think that the kids should learn. We're going to try to go to that deeper level today on Hometown Alaska with two really well-informed guests who I think will have a lot to say. And we're also going to talk about some fairly important breaking news that just came upon us last night. And so I'm going to tell you about that in just a minute. In the studio with me is Martina Henke, who is Executive Director for Curriculum and Instruction at the Anchorage School District. Thanks for being here, Martina.
Thanks for having me.
And on the phone from Juneau is Mike Hanley, who's the Commissioner of Education and Early Development for the state of Alaska. Mike, thanks for being with us.
I'm glad to be here.
So the news that I mentioned is that Commissioner Hanley, last night you announced that you were going to stop doing the AMP test, which was just implemented this year, and go to some new concept and which still has to be developed. And the AMP test was something that had replaced the SBA or standard based assessment that kids had been taking for many years, and was installed with quite a bit of hope that this was going to be an even better test. And I guess a 5-year contract had been let out for $25 million. What was the behind your decision that this was not the right way to go and you wanted to try something else?
There were a couple of things that I think that played into the decision, and it wasn't an easy decision because anytime we go out for an RFP and we have to transition again, it puts a lot of stress on our schools, our whole system. So it wasn't something we did lightly or easily, but ultimately, the assessment implementation itself went pretty well. But we had some real issues with the way the data rolled out, glitches with delays. And in the midst of a transition to try to make this test even more, even stronger, and it's got a 3-year transition of as we add more items, there's been a loss of confidence in the vendor's ability to get us where we need to go without additional glitches. And it's concerning to me that we continue to put our system through this stress. Ultimately, the other key component is that with the reauthorization of ESEA, which is now the ESSA, Every Student Succeeds Act, there are some options, different options for us to pursue in regards to what kind of assessments we would like to use. This is an opportune time to pursue that.
All right. Well, lots more questions about that, but now we've got the topic established. I want to put out the phone number for listeners who might want to get on the air with us. If you'd like to talk today about educational testing, Commissioner Mike Hanley is on the line with us from Juneau. The number here is 550-8433, 550-8433. If you're outside Anchorage, the number is 888-353-5752. And the email is hometown@alaskapublic.org. And if you go to our website at alaskapublic.org, you'll find that today's show is there on the front page. And click that and you'll find a link to an article that explains this AMP testing issue that we're discussing at the moment. So what was the original reason? I guess the first thing, just to make sure folks understand it, is one of the purposes of these tests is diagnostic. So when you give students a standardized test, you're looking to get some detailed information that will help the classroom teacher identify that student's weaknesses and work with those. And it sounded like one of the concerns about the AMP test was you weren't getting that kind of detailed data. Is that right?
It's close. There are several types of assessments that are given. There are diagnostics, which really help to dive in and find out specifically what issues a student may have and deficits and help guide a teacher's instruction. There's formative assessments. The one that we've been required to do at the end of the year is a summative assessment. It's not really designed to get down into a diagnostic level, which is really a deep level. The test would have to be very, very long to get down to a diagnostic level. But it is designed to give basic information so that some information, some action can be taken in regards to teachers' practice and how their kids are doing. So we did have an issue, though. You're correct in that it just wasn't down. We call it the grain size. It wasn't down to the level of detail that was actionable by our school districts, and that was a big frustration.
So give me an example, just as a layman, what kind of detail were you looking for, that were superintendents looking for, that was missing?
Let's take, we'll just take the ELA, the English Language Arts. We used to call that reading and writing. We combine those, we teach those together, we combine those together now. This is overly generalized, but you know, instead of having one score that says a student did this way in ELA, we would really hope to have how did they do with their phonetic awareness? How did they do with their comprehension? How did they do with all these other aspects that are required in putting together sentence structure and things like that? We're looking for those details so that teachers understand, okay, this is where I need to focus. We didn't get down to that level. We only had a broad score that teachers didn't understand, okay, but what part of that can I work on?
I see. So how did that go wrong? I mean, because you knew what you wanted at the front end, and you presumably did a procurement process to find somebody to be able to provide that. Do you have a sense for why the product that you got back after, you know, years of effort was not what you were looking for?
Yeah, kind of a combination of things. We used to get reports back that was down to what we used to call a strand level. Terminology has changed. It's at a target level now. We had thought that the target level would be very similar to the strand level. But a couple things came into play at the same time that made this very difficult. One is that we couldn't quite get down as deep as we wanted until we added what we call performance tasks. We used to call them constructed responses. Like a word problem or a writing essay that a student would do. Those would give us a lot of details and would give us more information about specific standards. We haven't implemented those yet. Those are scheduled to be implemented in coming years. So we weren't down there yet, but we knew it was coming. But in the midst of that, we also had these other frustrations about delays and a question of validity and things like that that just together made it very difficult.
Was this a contractor? It was a University of Kansas organization, as I understand it. Was it first time they'd done this, or what do you think they had those problems?
I'm not sure why they had the problems. Honestly, they have owned the problems. They have said that these rollout issues were on them. They had given a test in Kansas before. They worked with our Alaskans to develop an assessment, so we've never had any questions or concerns about the content or the actual questions in the test. I will say that being a relatively small company, we felt that, well, we're a relatively small state in regards to numbers of students. A relatively small company out of the university seemed like a good fit for us. We had a big say in how this thing was developed. But it also makes them vulnerable to things that can happen internally. And if there are glitches with staff or other things, the capacity to get out what needs to get done is compromised. And I think that was part of what happened.
I see. So one of the big changes in the AMP test was that it was administered by computer. And for districts, there were challenges with that, with making sure there are enough computers for all the students. And then there were issues, I guess, in rural Alaska where they didn't have bandwidth and they had to come up with different ways to address that. Is that effort down the tubes, or do you anticipate that a new test would also be administered by computer? What are your thoughts on that?
It's not down the tubes at all. I mean, we live in the 21st century, and some of the skills we have to teach our kids are what they need to be prepared afterwards. We live in a world of technology, and paper and pencil tests are kind of going the way of the 8-track. They just we need to move into computer-based assessments. Almost everything that's going to come down now that is offered will be computer-based. Fortunately for us, we were able to address broadband issues across the state, but with some local caching, where we were able to kind of take the test and put it on a local server. So we were able to do that there. But there are some, moving to a new format is a challenge. But I think it's an appropriate one. In the 21st century, I think it's appropriate that we're moving to computer-based technology.
Mm-hmm. So the other big change in this test was that you were testing based on new standards, which are the Alaska standards, which are quite similar to the Common Core standards promulgated nationally. When we got our results, the results were quite a bit lower than people were used to from the old standards-based assessment. I'm wondering if the results do feel reflected more challenging standards, or were the results being lower reflect something about the test?
We didn't see any issues with the test itself, although you know, it could be argued that moving to a new platform, you know, from paper and pencil to computer, could have an impact. As we give the assessment this year, we may see, we may be able to tell if that played a little bit of a role. But honestly, the biggest difference is higher expectations with our standards. And we fully anticipated, as did states across the country, we fully anticipated that fewer of our students would be meeting standards that met them before. So, yes, they were low. Yes, that's something we need to work on, but it wasn't particularly surprising.
Okay, I want to make sure that the listeners know that they can get on the air and ask questions of Commissioner of Education Mike Hanley. Martina Henke is Executive Director of Curriculum and Instruction at ASD is also in the studio. And we're going to certainly get to her with a lot of questions, too. So if you do have questions or comments about this testing issue, we really welcome those, and we'd like to have an open discussion on the topic. The phone number here is 550-8433, 550-8433. Outside Anchorage, the number is 888-353-5752, and the email address is hometown@alaskapublic.org. Commissioner Hanley, as soon as this news came out on Alaska Dispatch last night, I started seeing the comments from readers pouring in saying, well, this is because the students didn't do well enough, so you're getting rid of the test because it was too hard. And I'm sure you'd probably like to address that concern. Was that any part of why you are doing away with the test?
Absolutely not. As a matter of fact, I've heard superintendents, I've met with them a couple times, I heard them testify this morning in a joint hearing, nobody said that that was the issue. Nobody said that we're concerned that the data is wrong. Against the reports, it's making that feasible. Interestingly, when we look at the one tool we can use to compare ourselves nationally, there's a NAEP test. It's the National Assessment for Educational Progress. It's given in fourth and eighth grade. We previously were saying about 80% of our students are proficient. NAEP was in the 30 and 40%, and Alaska was known as having one of the biggest disparity gaps and not being particularly honest and transparent with our scores. Now our scores are much closer to what national assessment says, and we are considered one of the top, they call it truth tellers. We're one of the top truth tellers because what we're saying at our state level is very similar to what's being reflected in a national test.
And which, unfortunately, is not a very comfortable truth, that we've got an awful lot of kids who are not showing proficiency, and that's obviously a huge challenge for us as a state. So I want to turn to my other guest, Martina Henke. At ASD, obviously, was a big change for you to bring in these new tests and have students doing them on computers and so forth. And as a parent, it was certainly a change not to have everyone taking the tests at the same time. Tell me about that implementation part. Has that been challenging, and how has that worked out for the Anchorage District?
Of course it was challenging. When you go to a completely new platform, we went from disseminating booklets and test pencils and things to making sure that all of our technology was up to speed, making sure that students knew how to interact with that technology. That was definitely a challenge, but it was one that our IT department and our assessment department worked really well together. And Commissioner Hanley said, we had a pretty good implementation. We felt like the data was accurate and that students were able to interact with that technology pretty well. But we weren't surprised with the results because we know that with much more rigorous standards, we were going to see a dip in those scores.
What is your take on the standards as an educator? Did you feel that the old standards were too easy? in that the new standards are more appropriate for what we should be doing?
Absolutely. We worked extensively over the last few years as those standards were being developed, the Common Core State Standards and the Alaska Standards. We participated in both those processes, and we knew all along that the Alaska GLEs and standards didn't measure all the things that we needed students
GLE
to.
GLE being grade level expectations.
Correct. That's right. And we knew that that when those new standards came on board with some of the shifts, the key shifts that they call for, both in ELA and mathematics, we knew that that we were going to be a little more in line with what, as Commissioner Hanley mentioned, what NAEP and other national and international assessments measure. Mm-hmm.
So we're running into a lot of acronyms.
Yes, we are. Sorry about that.
ELA is English and Language Arts.
Yep.
And NAEP is that national assessment that you're talking about.
For educational progress, yep.
One concern that you hear a lot from parents is, gosh, we spend so much time testing. Do you, at the district, what kinds of different tests are administered, and it was sort of what kind of time element is required for the different tests?
So as Commissioner Hanley mentioned, we do have a variety of tests, some that we give to all students. For example, our outcome assessment, such as AMP or the SBA. We also do some universal screening 3 times a year with students in the area of reading and mathematics. We use those as little indicators of risk to be able to identify whether students might be at risk for not being able to meet proficiency standards. Those assessments are short, brief assessments that we give. And then those assessments actually drive us into more diagnostic measures, which allow us to really identify and target what specific students need. And then, of course, teachers do assessments all the time as part of their general instruction, as part of their end-of-unit assignments. Assessment can be as simple as a quick exit ticket or a question in class. And so there's a lot of different ways that we try to gather information about how students are learning.
You used to give a test called the High School Graduation Qualifying Exam, if I've got all the letters right there, HSGQE, since we're doing acronyms, and you don't have to give that anymore. And it is a question for both of you. We've seen graduation rates go up, which makes everybody glad, but then when that happens at the same time as you stop giving a graduating exam, you kind of wonder, well, does that just mean that they're graduating because they don't know what they need to know? I mean, does it mean that we've lowered our standards and so we get more graduation? Let me ask you that first, Martina, and then turn to Commissioner Hanley.
I think that for the most part, I don't think you'll see a change in high school graduation rates that quickly. And I think that when we did an assessment of the difference between students who perhaps didn't pass that HSGQE and those who did, I don't think we noticed enough of a data change that would really reflect that. I think that there's those increases in graduation are due to quite a few factors that we've been implementing over the years.
All right. Commissioner Hanley, do you think that the graduation rate increased is something to applaud, or is it, because you could just tell every kid they graduate, right? They didn't have 100% graduation, but that's really not the goal. Do you feel like there was a reduction in sort of, that is a legitimate increase, in other words?
I do think it's a legitimate increase. I think the bump we saw was only, statewide was only about, I think, 4%. So I think that could be a few students in there that had all the other requirements but hadn't been able to pass the HSGQE. One disappointment of the HSGQE was that there was a huge amount of students with disabilities in that category that could get everything else they needed to graduate but could not pass that particular exam. And so that was a challenge for us and a problem for us.
It seemed very unfair, yeah.
Yeah, and I will say that when that conversation was taking place 2 years ago in the legislature, I never brought that up. We never talked about increasing graduation rate. And I know that's not what you were insinuating, but because you're right, you could always bring it up by just lowering the bar. But that wasn't the purpose. We've got other accountability tools in place. This was just an added burden, an added test, and had a disparate effect, especially on special education students.
Right, let's go to a caller. Elise is calling from Anchorage. Elise?
Hi there. Hey, thanks for taking my call. I am trying to understand better what the plan is. What I understand is that they hope to, with the new assessment then for next year, align instructional needs that are allowable due to the change in the federal law. My understanding is that federal law has kind of been pretty flexible about how the the state's test. So I'm kind of wondering what that's going to look like. And I also, I guess, wondered about, since everybody's using the term NAEP, the national test, or what's kind of being used as a barometer and comparing Alaska to everyone else, I'm wondering why we wouldn't use the NAEP test or something that looks just like that. And then my last question
Let me get those answered first because it gets too confusing, but I'll promise to come back. So just to make sure that listeners understand, the notorious No Child Left Behind law is now gone, and so a new law is passed, and I think Commissioner Hanley was referring to that when he said there's more flexibility for a new test. Can you address Elisa's question on that, Commissioner Hanley, about what the next step is and how that relates?
Yes. The requirements at the federal and the state level are simply to have a summative score that gives an idea of how our schools are doing with our children and breaks down information so that we can see how each group of our students are doing so that we can address those needs. Martina spoke to several tests that are given. They all have different purposes. This one is just to kind of do a little dipstick measure to see how each of our schools are doing in our state and how to compare those. The NAEP, interestingly, is only given every other year. Only in 4th and 8th grade, and to a sample of 4th and 8th graders. So it also doesn't give us any individual student scores. It only gives us a state score. So we can't even break it down that low. So we couldn't use that. We're still kind of stuck with a different tool. The flexibility we have now is maybe what kind of tool, what that tool might look like.
Okay.
So the federal, my understanding is the feds have always sort of given flexibility to states. But they have demanded that there be something every year. So that is still remained, yes?
Yes, we have to do, we've always had to do an annual summative assessment, the same test across for all students, different ones for different grades, but for all students across the state in grades 3 through 8 and once in high school. So that part stays the same. The one thing that's changed slightly is that it can be summative, which is what we've had, or we can now look at interim assessments that can be combined into a summative score. So we could look at tools that could be given, a little shorter test, that be given several times a year and then combined into a score. So that's some of the flexibility. Local districts are also given the flexibility of changing a different high school test. They could maybe potentially use like the ACT or SAT if they want to use that in high school.
And so, does it have to be the same test then for every school? You're saying that local districts could use something, so it could be something different for every district?
At this point, it looks like we have to have the same test for across the state. We're waiting for some regulations that are coming from the federal government, but right now it looks like that criteria of same assessment across the state is still in place.
So on Facebook, which is, of course, where I shouldn't be getting my information, but there's a lot of teacher comments about how they are relieved because they are happy, I think, that since they're already doing so much testing day to day, they may be able to use some of that and not have extra tests. So my question is, there has also been some talk about whether or not the test that was put in place, the AMP test, was used in part so that that could be used as part of their evaluation. And I think there's been a lot of concern about that. And I just wondered if I could hear comments about that, and I'll get off on the line on that.
Thanks. Good questions, Elise. Sounds like you're really well informed. Maybe both of our panelists could take that. Do you want to go first, Commissioner Hanley?
Sure. There were a couple questions in there. The AMP test was put in place to do that one little dipstick measure. Now we have also had teacher evaluations tied to student learning, and that's incorporated into that assessment. But the other thing that ESSA did, and these are slightly different topics but connected, as you noted, the other thing that ESSA did, the new law, is takes out the requirement for data to be, student data from an assessment to be tied to teacher evaluation. So on Monday, our State Board of Education is delaying the teacher evaluation pilot projects, and very soon we're going to start looking at removing some of those requirements that have been a huge burden on our teachers and our schools.
Wow, that's a big piece of news, because I know a lot of teachers have been very upset about the system that was put in place here in Anchorage. I don't know if they were upset in other districts around the state and felt it was not an effective evaluation system. And so that's a lot of big changes happening. And I guess from the point of view of the public, I think there's a little bit of a sense of, wow, we certainly seem to change our course a lot in education, right? The federal government passes laws and we take approaches with the state, and we're always changing tests or changing new systems. And I don't know, is that, maybe you can address that, Martina. Commissioner Handley's kind of, he's a little bit forced to deal with all these mandates, but does it seem to you that we do seem to change policy rather rapidly?
Well, I think it might feel that way over the last couple of years, I think, because of the shifts and changes to more nationally aligned standards. So I think that probably has contributed to that feeling. I think overall, we continue to, in the district, as teachers, those teachers are still teaching their curriculum, they're still teaching standards, they're still working to make a difference for students. But they can feel sometimes like the outside pressures of legislation and of policies can sometimes impact the classroom. And I know that they are feeling some relief that perhaps there might be some flexibility to use some of those interim assessments to combine those. Because actually, the interim assessments are the pieces that will give you the most information for actually impacting instruction. A summative assessment, while it's useful at a higher level for making programmatic decisions and for tracking progress of a district or schools, and even students, they don't give us that data in very real time. And teachers really like being able to get data in time to make a difference with kids.
Yeah. So we're getting into a lot of detail about this testing issue, but it's sort of breaking news that the statewide test has been essentially done away with and will be replaced after this school year. And we wanted to make sure we really dug into that with the Commissioner of Education, Mike Handley. In the second half of the show, coming up in a few minutes, we're going to get into some of the more philosophical aspects of the subject. What are we really trying to get at with assessments and testing? How would we like to have this system work ideally? You know, what are our aspirations for what we want our kids to know? And I've got some good questions coming in by email. And in a few minutes, I'm going to give out the phone number in hopes that I'll get more questions from you on this important topic. But just to close out the topic on the AMP test, from my point of view, Commissioner Handley, one of the concerns, obviously, is that we're in a time of extreme fiscal constraints where the state's running out of money and has a huge deficit. And I've read that the AMP test was a $25 million contract. And I just was wondering how much of that money is lost and how much can be recovered to go to a different program. I think that's a really big concern of the public is, as much as we spend on education, we really don't want to see it wasted.
That's a really good question. And you're right. It was a $25 million five-year contract. Sounds very expensive, and it is, but through an RFP process, it actually was one of the lowest prices that was bid. So that's basically, doing the math, $5 million a year, and this contract is 5 years renewable annually. So we can get out of this contract on an annual basis. So what's been spent is to develop a test to get us some data. It'll be give us data again this year. We'll own all those test items in case we want to use them for a future assessment. And so we will have spent that much money for the couple of years we've used it, but we'll be able to get out of the contract and not have penalties.
And so you will be putting out a request for proposals for a company that would design a new test or give you an off-the-shelf test for something completely different. Which would have to be ready next school year, which was really rapid. Do you anticipate a similar cost, and do you anticipate redesigning the test from the ground up, or what is your expectation?
You know, we have a tough road ahead of us, no doubt about it, because the timeline is tight. It doesn't seem like it, but it is. I'm going to be working with our stakeholders. ESSA requires it, but I'm going to be working with superintendents, principals, tribal groups, legislature, PTAs. I mean, there's a whole bunch of people we need in this conversation, teachers, principals. And a big question is, do we want another test that is sensitive to the uniqueness of Alaska, culturally sensitive to students who may live in rural Alaska so that there aren't examples in there that they couldn't relate to? Or do we want to move to an off-the-shelf test? Easier to go to an off-the-shelf test. It's already been developed, but we don't have any unique aspect or we don't have input on how that's done. So that's one of the big questions we'll be asking, because a lot of people are talking about the value of MAP, and it is a very valuable tool. If it can be used in this new setting, it might be a way to go, but it's a big shift from what we've had in the past where we've had Alaskans involved in the development of the test. So that's something we'll be working on here in the next weeks and months.
And MAP is one of those off-the-shelf tests you're talking about?
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. Used across the country. Designed right now as a formative. So if we decide to go with an interim that can be combined into one score, that would be the type of a test that school districts are using, given several times a year.
All right. So there you have it, folks. It's such a hot topic. And just in the first half of the show, we've got news that the statewide standardized testing is being scrapped. A new test will be designed for next school year, and the teachers will no longer be evaluated according to those test results. So lots happening. But in the second half, I'm going to try to dig in a little deeper. What do you really want to know from testing about your kids and your schools? And how do we determine as a society what we'd like our kids to learn in school and how we would like to find out the success of our schools in teaching those topics? So when we come back from a very short break, I have some emails on that on those subjects, which I'm going to address to my guests, and I would love to hear from you. So I'll be giving out those phone numbers right after this short break. Stay with us as Hometown Alaska continues.
You're listening to Hometown Alaska from Alaska Public Media. The program repeats tonight at 8 p.m. on KSKA Anchorage and will not be taking phone calls. You can find Hometown Alaska on iTunes or listen at alaskapublic.org.
It's Hometown Alaska. I'm Charles Wolforth, and today we are talking about education, standardized testing, what we want to have our students know. And on the show today is Mike Hanley, who's the Commissioner of Education and Early Development for the state of Alaska. And in the studio, Martina Henke, who is the Executive Director for Curriculum Instruction at the Anchorage School District. And we'd love to hear from you as well. The phone number here in the studio is 550-8433. That's 550-8433. Outside Anchorage, it's 888-353-5752. And you can get on the show by email at hometown@alaskapublic.org. Now I want to go into some of the emails we've already received. This one is from David, who says, a very basic question. There seems to be an underlying assumption that standardized testing of the AMP-SBA type is inherently both valid and valuable. I'm somewhat disturbed when this isn't questioned by those running the education system. Federal mandates aside, so we're going to say what we would like, regardless of what the federal government says. So federal mandates aside, might there be more value in evaluating student progress based on some other perhaps more flexible or creative methods, such as, just to give one possibility, growth demonstrated in student or teacher-curated portfolios, which is done in some of our open optional elementary schools, Tugatch Optional being one I'm familiar with, where students don't get grades. They are have student-led portfolio sharers. Let me turn this to you first, Martina. As a language arts teacher, you know, it can be very difficult to evaluate a student's writing ability. There's more to writing than spelling.
Absolutely. And a standardized test can be really can be a challenging venue for trying to really determine whether a student can write or not. So teachers make use of those sorts of portfolios and those sorts of alternative tools quite frequently. And that's how they truly know how students are progressing and can inform instruction. That can be really challenging, though, on a district or statewide level in order to provide data in an easy, easy to score manner. And so a standardized test does offer you some district and statewide level information, but you do need those other assessments to get a full picture.
Commissioner Henley, maybe you could address David's question as well when he says, are we making a false assumption when we say that this testing is, as he says, both valid and valuable? What is the importance of this testing as opposed to other kinds of ways of judging student performance?
I think the question is critical to understand why do we test? Why do we assess our kids? And the most valuable tools, I think, that drive a student's education are not the ones that are given at the state level, are not the standardized ones. They're the ones that the teachers are using, the informal ones that are guiding their instruction and helping meet those students' needs. So I fully recognize those. I taught for 15 years in Anchorage. I was a principal there for 5 years. So what are we looking for in a standardized statewide assessment? When I picture standardized, all to me that means is it's the same. It's given in the same way across the state so that we have some comparison. How are my kids doing compared to other schools in the district and around the state? That we can only do that if they're all the same, and that's what I consider for standardized. So the question is good because we want to make sure we're not trying to make a standardized test do more than it should. It can't do what a good formative test does or that interim test that a teacher uses. It can't just give that dipstick and say, here's how your child's doing on a progress on these standards, and then here's how they look compared to everybody else. So, and we need to make sure that we're limiting it to that and not trying to make it do more than it should.
Mm. I think, you know, one of the things I'm reading between the lines from what you're both saying is parent responsibility to be in touch with your child's teacher, be looking at the work that comes home, be aware of what the homework looks like, be aware of what the tests that the teacher is giving look
Absolutely.
Like. If you're waiting to the end of the year to get a standardized test on your kid, then
Agreed.
You're probably not really getting the information you need.
Absolutely.
So the tests are, in one sense, are better maybe for judging the success of schools and the success of students. And when we have some student school, we have such great disparity between schools, that's probably information we need as a society. Would you agree with that, Mike?
Absolutely, I would.
Otherwise, we can have failing
schools.
That's where
lives are being changed. That's where students are really learning. So, yes.
So if you don't have any testing and you don't know that some schools are very weak, you might never know to address those schools. Yes?
That's important for me in this position. I want to make sure that we're addressing the needs of all of our kids. And the only way I know that from here is if I've got some kind of a measure. How are our Native Alaska students doing? How are our English language learners doing? How are our students with disabilities doing? How are our students that are experiencing poverty? How are they doing? Without that information, we don't have the ability to put resources in those areas. So that's the value for me.
Yeah. So that kind of leads into this next question, which comes from a different Elise than the Elise we heard from before. She asks, the number one question that parents have is, why are we doing all this testing that does not help how my student is learning? So in other words, from her point of view, if the testing maybe is not helping her particular student, it is taking class time. Can you address that question? And I'd like to hear from both of you. Maybe start with you, Commissioner Henley, of how do we answer that question from parents who feel like, well, I'm already following my student's progress. Why do I need to have the standardized testing take time out of the day?
Right. The testing requirements, you know, at the state and federal level are kind of this once a year dipstick, but we know that the compilation of all the other assessments that are done throughout the year can be a lot. I know when my kids were growing up, I would look at how my school is doing. I would pull up the school report card. When I look for a home, one of the things you'll see on the multiple listing service is what school do they go to? Or what school does this home attach to? And people always want to know, parents always want to know how a school's doing. And they want to know how it's doing compared to everybody else. So it simply, it does two things. How is your student progressing towards the standards that are going to help them be successful when they graduate? And how does your school look compared to everybody else's? But that question is ongoing. It doesn't drive instruction the way a formative tool will. It's just that informative, and to me, it's kind of a confirmation. It's that added piece of information that confirms what we already know from other tests and other tools that are being used throughout the year.
Martina, your job as Executive Director of Curriculum Instruction here in Anchorage is sort of looking at what we're teaching the kids and how we're teaching them. Do these tests, such as the SBA and AMP and other tests that are given, do they inform you in terms of your work in developing those tools and those products?
Yes, they do. They give us information, as was stated, at the school level or even in particular groupings of schools. And so we're able to, sometimes we might be piloting curriculum at a particular school. We're able to see if that impacts students' standardized assessments. Some of the other standardized assessments, such as that tool I mentioned that we give three times a year to indicate risk for students, allows us to see if some of the initiatives and the instructional moves that we're trying out are actually working. And so we are able to kind of look at a district level and really target resources for schools.
Here's another question that we received from Max, who couldn't stay on the line because he's driving, but he gets to something that I think is really important, which is the concept and the concern that folks have that what we want to be passing on to our kids maybe have a more holistic sort of element to it than we can capture in a test, and thinking in particular of Native histories, lifestyle, Alaska-specific issues. And Max asks about the origin of these tests and whether or not they can include those kinds of things, or is it even really possible to capture all of that? And I know in you know, most of these tests really just address reading, writing, and arithmetic, right? So, Commissioner Hanley, is that asking too much to try to bring in sort of these holistic cultural elements?
It becomes very difficult to do that on a standardized test, a test that is the same for all students. That does not mean that a holistic approach isn't actually, you know, critical. You know, connecting kids to where they live and teaching across curriculum is a tremendous way to teach. We do have cultural standards, but the ability to hit every culture, since the cultures vary, especially in Alaska, and in one test, is very difficult. So it would be a shortcoming of what a standardized test would do. I would picture that in the midst of a holistic approach to teaching, and that's the way I used to always teach, that at the end of the day, a standardized test says, yeah, my approach is working. See how my kids are doing on these standards.
Mm-hmm. And I guess one of the big concerns is that to the extent that you narrow the test to things that can be measured, does teaching then narrow to just the things that could be measured, because that's where the reward is coming or the concerns are coming? Martina, do you want to address that?
That's a danger that we want to always be aware of. And so whenever, even when you have standards, let's say in English language arts or mathematics, even those standards are some high priority pieces, and they don't outline everything we would want to teach students. And so we are always really, really careful to provide professional development for teachers in the areas of assessments that go beyond a standards-based assessment, because we don't want to narrow our curriculum based on a test. We want our standards, as well as all the things that we value as a society, as a state, as a community, to be part of our curriculum, part of our academic plans, part of the work that we do with students and with teachers.
And can you address how these things line up? Because, I mean, as I conceptualize it, we'd love to have it so the community gets together and says, these are the standards that we want the students to know, and then the curriculum all lines up so they learn those standards and the test lines up with the curriculum. Is that how it really happens? I mean, it seems like that's a kind of a big idealistic goal.
It is a big goal. I think that, for example, when you look for curriculum materials, that's where sometimes your community input comes. So when we know we have standards, we have content area standards, say in social studies, what is the content that our experts across the country with input from all those stakeholders have identified? And then we buy curricular materials that align to those standards, but also that bring in pieces. So if we have a textbook that we're looking at, but it doesn't bring in what we value, we might supplement that with our own. So example, in social studies, with our Alaska information and our Alaska standards and our Alaska cultural pieces, those get brought in separately due to our community pointing out that that's a deficiency in our curriculum materials. So it is a broad-based piece to pull all those together.
Commissioner Hanley, we recently abandoned the standards that had been in place earlier and adopted new Alaska standards, well, a few years ago, that are quite close, as I understand it, to the Common Core standards, a very controversial topic. Could you give us a sort of quick overview of how that standard process, adoption process works, and why did we adopt something that was so similar to a Common Core?
The original standard process was adopted because we recognized that too many of our kids weren't actually prepared when they left. There was a big summit happening in 2009 that basically recognized how many kids need remediation, couldn't get into the military, couldn't get into careers. And so we realized we had to up the bar and up the expectations. So we did some backwards planning. What do they need when they leave? And let's back that down. Simultaneously, the work was being done around the country with the Common Core. The biggest thing about the Common Core, and our standards are, we have said, substantially similar. About 50% of them are actually identical. But the thing that about adopting the Common Core that we avoided was there were some rules that said if you are going to adopt the Common Core, you can't change these. You have to adopt them as a whole, and you can only change, add up to this much. We weren't interested in those rules. We were interested in changing and making those changes as we saw fit. And we did that. But the outcomes that we have in Alaska are still very, very similar. I mean, when we have a standard in kindergarten that a child should learn the alphabet, upper and lower case, who cares if it's Common Core or Alaska standards? They're, and actually ours are identical, or that they can count to 100. Those are good expectations. We wanted to make sure that we still had the ability to change those as we saw fit. Doesn't mean that they're that much different, because it's important for our kids to be prepared just like everybody else around the country.
All right. It's Hometown Alaska. I'm Charles Wolforth, and we're talking about educational testing and all the big changes happening in Alaska, what our expectations are for our kids. And we've got about 15 minutes left, but Commissioner Hanley can't stay with us the whole time. He's got to get to another meeting. So I'm going to hit him with one more listener question here. Commissioner Mike Hanley's with us from Juneau, and Martina Henke from the Anchorage School District is here in the studio. And Commissioner Hanley, here's a question that comes from Brian. He asks, why don't we use an off-the-shelf test? How much money would it save if we did? Do we have Iowa Test of Basic Skills? That's a one that I don't know if that's still around, but I remember that from when I was a kid. Why does the department keep changing tests? So we can't compare one year's test to another to see how we're doing. So that obviously is several questions there. But I think Brian is talking about some accountability of having a off-the-shelf test that's used by others and that will be the same year to year so that we can see how we're doing compared to our past and compared to other places.
That's exactly what we're looking at here now. I will mention that just recently, a couple of years ago, we got rid of the Terra Nova test, which was similar to the Iowa test. That's a norm referenced test. That gives you that percentile score based on a normed group, as opposed to what these are. These are, it's kind of technical terms, criterion. They're focused on the standards. Our tests here are. A norm reference test is just allows you a comparison to other people.
So just as people, for something people might be familiar with, like a standards-based test is telling you, did you achieve the standards or not? Whereas a norm test is more like grading to the curve. Are you smarter than the other kids or not as smart?
Very good description of it. And so we got rid of that because not many districts were using it. Right now we're focused on that, the standards-based, even though we call it something different. But the question about off-the-shelf versus developed on our own is really the question we're going to have now, because our stakeholders said we really want something that's unique to Alaska. And that's what we did with AAI, the company that made our AMP assessment. But right now people are saying, maybe we'd be fine with a straight off-the-shelf test, easier to get in place. Everything's already been done. And it potentially will save us some money. Those are the exact questions we'll be looking at. Will an off-the-shelf test work for Alaska? And if so, maybe that's the way to go. When we put out our RFP, we'll have those things in there. Charles, can I say one thing before I get off?
Absolutely.
Okay, and it's going to be a slight jump, but I just want to clarify one thing. Under the waiver that we got to get out from some of these hard parts of No Child Left Behind, we had to tie teacher evaluations to student learning. And that's been being developed in our schools, and a lot of work is going into it. Our school board, this year there was a requirement for a pilot, all of our school districts to be piloting their programs. And then in July, they're supposed to actually adopt a new program for doing these evaluations. The pilot is being repealed. At least it's out for public comment right now. And I'm going to be getting together with teachers and principals and stakeholders and see how much do we want to get rid of. So I just wanted to make sure that everybody didn't think right now it's all gone, but we are sure moving in that direction.
Okay. Good clarification. Thanks. I know a lot of people are listening who will want to know those facts. Well, I want to thank you very much for being with us, Commissioner Hanley. I guess my only last question would be, how can members of the public who want to have some input into this topic make that input before you actually issue your request for proposals and choose a new test?
You can do it through your district, or you can send in comments to the Department of Education. You can send emails here, and we have Alaska education.alaska.gov, and send comments in that way. As we start to move forward, we're going to be you'll see some stakeholder groups. It'll be very transparent. We're actually going to have a state plan that'll end up being out for public comment a little later in the year as well.
All right, and that website the commissioner mentioned is linked at our website at alaskapublic.org. Just click on today's show, Testing and Learning. And thanks very much for being with us, Commissioner Mike Hanley.
Thank you, Charles. Thanks, Martina.
Thank you.
All right. So I wanted the last question I asked there, and let me let listeners know that if they do have questions or comments they want to get on the air, we have, about 8 to 10 minutes left. The phone number here is 550-8433. 550-8433. Outside Anchorage, it's 888-353-5752. And the email address, which is how we're getting all our comments today, which is unusual, but great, hometown@alaskapublic.org. hometown@alaskapublic.org for your questions. And get them in right now because we're almost out of time. So, Martina, you do curriculum instruction for the Anchorage School District, which is kind of the meat. That's sort of what we send the kids to school for. I'd like you to answer the same question that I was posing to Commissioner Hanley. How do I, as a parent or as a member of the community, have input into that very, very important part of instruction? How do we make sure that our kids are learning what we want them to learn, which is really the curriculum that's being taught in the classroom?
Absolutely. So one of the first ways to do that is to stay in touch with your school district's news, because as we adopt new curriculum and as we bring in new materials to teach students, we involve the district heavily in that process. For example, our AP US History is coming up for a review, and so there are several. There's a survey of algebra going on right now. And so those offer multiple opportunities for people to come in, look at the materials, give feedback, provide information to that coordinator. We have coordinators for all of our different content areas, and they seek that community input, and they want to be part of that work, and that's all taken into account, and often makes those community pieces really make a difference in what we choose to use. Also, be aware of what your kids are doing in school. Talk with the peer, talk with the teacher. Be aware if we have texts that don't align with what you particularly want. We always have options for students, so there's always that opportunity for a parent or a student or a community member to have that input.
Okay, in terms of some of the just my own personal observation is that the some of the subjects that we as Alaskans decide we want our students to know about, you know, Anchorage history in second grade or Alaska studies in high school, some of that curriculum, at least I haven't looked at it just recently, but has not been the strongest curriculum. I mean, the sort of the stuff that's nationally developed is obviously made by some publisher outside, and you can select from many choices. But the local curriculum is maybe weaker or relying on more expertise from the classroom teacher. How is that kind of curriculum created that's just for Alaska?
So our social studies curriculum coordinator actually works pretty strongly on that. Our second grade curriculum was developed here in state and is actually sought by folks all around the state because it's really high quality.
Has that been newly updated?
Brand new, yeah.
Okay, so
brand
I'm thinking
new.
About what was there.
Yeah, yeah. She spent we used some grants to create some pretty amazing curriculum, including an iBook that can be purchased, and it's really, really interactive. And then for say third grade, where we teach Alaska history, and then ninth grade, where we teach Alaska studies. One of the things that that Ms. Orme is actually working on right now is a statewide credit course that teachers can take that includes community members, Native groups, university, all those folks doing different modules and allowing teachers to dip into that university course, which is distance, to get up-to-date curriculum and knowledge about those particular topics. And so she's actually working with other districts in the state and with the university to provide that professional development and that strong curriculum. And that's constantly being added to as new information comes from our Native groups and from our different stakeholders.
So how do you do assessments related to that? Because we've talked about this idea. The community says we want to have kids to learn about Alaska, and then you have to go out and hire somebody to develop the curriculum. And probably comes from different pieces. And then at some point you want to determine, well, did the kids learn it? If they have gaps, how do you go back and fix it? How does that work when we talk about these Alaska-specific things?
Well, even for Alaska-specific or even for courses that we teach that are specific, say a Shakespeare course, those aren't something that we would assess on a standardized level.
Right.
And so most of the time, our curriculum guides or academic plans, as we call them, will include suggested assessments. A lot of times, especially in the process of really building our curriculum, we're working on common assessments. Teachers build those together and then share those with each other and then look at that data and determine whether or not some changes need to be made. So we're working at a local level to develop some of those common assessments that we can use to have conversations.
And a lot of times, so a teacher will just design his or her own test.
Indeed.
And probably will adapt the curriculum you're providing so that. And that's kind of what we want to have happen on some
level.
That's
right, yeah. And so we have a general guide for what we want students to learn and do, but how that teacher delivers that curriculum and the way that they make that unique to those students and those students' needs is all about the art of teaching.
Okay. So what are the big issues coming up in ASD in terms of curriculum and assessment moving forward? I mean, what things are you looking at that need updating or that you will be needing to hear from the public on?
Well, as I mentioned, we've got some things in foreign languages that are out there, some things in history. We've got some science things out there. We are hoping at some point to be looking at a K-8 language arts review as we start to try to phase in new curriculum for kindergarten through eighth grade for language arts, because we're looking at some pretty old curriculum materials there that we're adapting to meet the Common Core State Standards right now. That's some input that we might be looking for as we get closer to that opportunity.
Do those standards push you towards more of a cookbook approach in language arts in the younger grades? I mean, because there's this sort of reading workshop sort of loose approach, and then there's sort of a more scripted approach, Houghton Mifflin. And I'm just, is there something about the system that's pushing you in one direction or the other, or what's the philosophy on that?
Absolutely not. The standards push us in the direction of having high expectations, and they give us some, they're actually much more targeted, and they allow for a lot of freedom in terms of the curriculum we actually use to get to those standards. So no, I wouldn't say that they push us in that direction at all.
Okay, so how do you make those choices? I mean, does it just come down to your desk and you finally say, okay, we're getting this one?
Oh, no. We would spend a great deal of time. We would use the standards and all the different things we know about what makes good curriculum to identify sort of an RFP. We would pull in all those different materials. We would pull in the community and teachers, principals, all the folks involved, special ed, ELL, native, all those
ELL
folks.
ELL is
English language learners.
Yeah.
Thank you for correcting me on that. So we'd pull all those folks in and they'll examine those closely, and they'll use a rubric that we'll design or some guidelines that we design for what we're looking for so that we can get the best possible, most adaptable and differentiated curriculum that we can so we can meet needs of students at all levels. And then that's all decided by a committee of folks. It's not my decision ever.
Okay.
Thank goodness.
I'm sure you do a good decision. So we're out of time, and it's been a really interesting conversation. I want to thank my guest, Martina Henke, who is a executive director for curriculum instruction here at the Anchor School District. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
And earlier we heard from Mike Hanley, who is the commissioner of education and early development, calling in from Juneau. And I'm Charles Woolforth. I'm your host. Next week, you're going to be with Kathleen McCoy. So please tune in for Hometown Alaska.
Hometown Alaska is a production of Alaska Public Media, which is solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are those of the host and participants and do not reflect the underwriters or KSKA. Hometown Alaska's theme song, Lead Dog, is by Kevin Barnett from Eagle River. Learn more about Hometown Alaska and listen online at alaskapublic.org. Life Informed. This is Alaska Public Media.